Continuing our study through the Old Testament, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Now look at what God says here. First, God says, tell them to bring one. Tell them to bring one. I don't recall which, it might have been last Sunday night, he said, tell them when they come to me, don't come empty-handed. And now he tells Moses, you tell them to bring an offering. But then he says, but only if they bring it out of a willing heart. He said, if they come begrudgingly, don't accept it. And I think that's important. Boy, what a valuable statement. We should want to participate in God's work. We should want to be part of what God is doing financially. But we shouldn't give it begrudgingly. We shouldn't give it with hesitation. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So we ought to give it and just realize what it is that we're doing. You know, we talk about mission points all around the world, but let's not forget that at one point there was a goal to build a church here and to start something here, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed, and it's happening. By the way, we had one come forward after church today for baptism next Sunday. So, I mean, that's three additions today and one next Sunday. So God is working. God is doing great things. And it's exciting. And so we need to remember as we give and as we come that this is what God is doing. This is God's work. And he said, only those who give out of a willing heart. Verse number 3, he tells them what to bring. And 4 and 5 and 6, these are all the supplies, the materials that he needs. But look at verse number 8. Why are they building this? Remember, they're on their way from Egypt to Canaan land, to the promised land. And God tells them to design this tent. We'll go through it and we'll look at it. I don't want to dig down into the materials so much, but to say it's made of, there's some curtains of linen, some of goat skin, some of badger skin, and then he's got wood, you know, boards and posts, and of course you have the ark and the showbread table and the candlestick, all these things that he has. This is all mobile. It's all to be transported so that they can take it through the wilderness on their way. And as they camp each night, you know, as they've been staying in some places and establishing a camp and staying obviously for longer periods of time than just a day. And so as they camp, they set this tabernacle up, and God says in verse 8 why he's making it. That I may dwell among them. This is God's place. Look, this is something they can carry with them as they go. And it even has in it, as we get, you know, deeper into the Holy of Holies, the holiest place, the most holy place it's called here. And so you have the holy place, and then you have the most holy place. And this is just the tent. This is just the tabernacle that they're carrying with them. This is not even the temple that's built on the top of Mount Moriah. We're just talking about the one they're carrying through the desert. So God desires communion with us. Now what could God have done? Wasn't God already there? In fact, as this is being spoken, as this is being written, God is on the mountaintop with Moses, and he said, and nobody else can come up here. Remember, it's volcanic. There's earthquakes, there's a rumbling, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's a smoke. And so in all this presence, God has arrived and shown his presence to the people, so that the people said to Moses, look, we don't want to go up there. You talk to him. Remember that? And so Moses, God had told Moses at one point, you go down there and you tell them not to come up on this mountain. And Moses said, Lord, you already told them not to come up here. They're not coming down. They're not coming up. And God said, Moses, you go tell them, don't come back on this mountain. Don't come up here. Go get Aaron, only Aaron. And you tell everybody else, stay down there. And you tell the priests, they shouldn't get the idea that they have a right to come up. You tell everybody, stay away from this mountain. Because if they touch it, they'll die. So God has shown his presence. He's shown his power. Right now, Moses is up on Mount Sinai by himself. By himself. With God. And God has given him these instructions about how to make the tabernacle. In verse number 15, it talks about the staves, the staff that would go through the ark. They shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length of it. Remember, a cubit is about 18 inches, so it's not very big. All the time, they're still looking for this box. They're still looking for this box made of wood, laid in gold, and they're searching. In fact, there's a group down in Ethiopia that says they got it. Have y'all seen that documentary? And they say they've got it, and it's in the basement of a church building. And So I saw the reporters went there and they said, we want to see it. And they said, oh, well, you can't see it. So it's just one guy, and then that one guy chooses the next guy, and then that guy's in, and he's the only one that can see it. And so it just keeps getting passed down. So supposedly it's in Ethiopia. But they're still searching for it. They're still doing excavation, by the way, in Israel, in Jerusalem, under the temple. And I was watching today, archaeology in around the temple. And they're trying to date these rocks and date these pottery and whatever they can find, because they want to find the Ark of the Covenant. This is the big thing to them. Understand something. The Ark of the Covenant, while it was valuable in Moses' day and in Solomon's day, it's not valuable in our day because it's representative of what's in heaven. It means nothing to us. It's a box with gold. And yes, it's a phenomenal example of God's Ark and His testimony and His testament. But it's just a box. The mercy seat, the cherubim, all these things that he describes here, overlaid with gold. And so he describes it here. And I want you to notice something in verse number 14. Thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And remember, this is what got him in trouble in David's day, is that those staves are supposed to stay in the rings so they could carry the ark. Never supposed to come out of it. It was not part of the ark, but it was to be assembled with the ark and never removed. It was supposed to be a permanent piece, though it was not part of it. But what got them in trouble, they removed them. They removed them. And in verse 15, he said they should never be taken away from it. And that became an issue. In the book of Revelation, God says, don't take away from it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And I know that sometimes people just hold back and they change things and they think, well, it won't matter. But it mattered with the ark. And it matters with the scripture. It matters. If God said put it in, put it in. If God said take it out, take it out. But don't put in something that doesn't belong, and don't take out something that belongs. In verse 17, he talks about the mercy seat. God had them make a chair to sit above the ark. In verse number 18, the cherubims of gold. And verse 19, one on one side and one on the other side, facing each other. The cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Faces shall look toward one another. Verse 20, toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Put the mercy seat above the ark. In the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee. There I will meet with thee. I will commune with thee. From above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I will give thee in the commandment to the children of Israel. So he's giving them step by step. And then he goes on and he talks about the table of showbread. Verse 23. And in verse number 30, he says, and always have bread on the table. Always. We are to always be aware of God's presence and mindful of God's presence. What happens when we think that God, well, we don't have to put bread up there today. I know He's God. I know He doesn't need the bread. I get that. But it was the awareness of His constant, perpetual presence. And that's why he says in verse number 30, thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Fresh bread every day. And verse number 31 through 40 talks about the candlestick, and it describes it down to a T, how the candlesticks and the lamp should be. And verse number 20, or chapter 26, 1 through 6, talks about the curtains, the linen curtains, the goatskin curtains, the badger curtains, and the bars. And verse number 30, I want to bring you to this next point in chapter 26. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee in the mount. When you read that, do you understand what God is saying? God has shown Moses this tabernacle. It's not built. God wanted Moses to build it. But God has shown Moses how to erect it, how to put it up. Now, maybe that was a vision, I guess is what we would say. It's a vision that God was able to show Moses on that mountain what it looked like, how it would be raised, how it would be designed. The colors, I mean, all the different colors that are involved. But God has given Moses insight so that Moses knows how it goes up. Verse 31 through 35, he talks about the inner veil. You see, it's not just a tabernacle, but then inside that, there's a holy place, verse 33, and a most holy place. And what's in that most holy place? That's where the Ark of the Covenant goes. That's where the mercy seat, the cherubim are. That's where God meets with His people, with His priest. It's not about God being in the face of everyone. It's about God being in the vicinity. It's about God being present. The pillar of fire that's before them, the cloud that's before them. That's God. That's God's presence. There's no doubt that God is there. But see, this is not about the utility of leading them through the desert. This is about the holiness of worship. This is about the holiness of communion. This is about the holiness that He's God and He still cares about His people. That He wants to be there. And He said, build it. This was not Moses' idea. Remember David? Calls Nathan. He says, Nathan, I want to build God a house. Here I am in this great house. It's beautiful. It's made of wood. And God lives in a tent. That's not right. And of course, Nathan said, well, you do what's in your heart. But that was David's idea. This is God's idea. Now, he goes on. He talks about the brazen altar and the courts and the curtain. In verse number 20 of chapter 27, thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. God's desire was to meet with His people. The design of the tabernacle was for God to meet with His people. And in that temple, He says, I want a table set and I want bread on it all the time. In that temple, I want lamps and I want that light burning all the time. We're not just Christians when we come to church. We don't just come to see God when we're in church. We're Christians all the time. Now, we ought to act like Christians all the time. We ought to present ourselves as Christians all the time. Now, the light should not go out when we turn these lights off. The light should not come on when we pull in the parking lot. We're to be the light of the world. And we are to be in communion with God always. God said, build me a tabernacle that I may meet with my people. Why did God send the Holy Spirit? Why does He have the Holy Spirit in us? Communion. He wants us to be in prayer. He wants us to have that constant line of communication open. He doesn't want us just to pray when we come to church. He doesn't want us just to learn about Him when we come to Sunday school. He wants us to always be students, always be attentive, and always be ministers, always. Let's stand.